Oh, there you go. Okay. So we're still in the middle of this Agadah here on Kaf Chet Omer Aleph. Nice to have an Agadah.
We skipped an Agadah.
Not on purpose.
I happen to be looking for some other thing. Brought me to an Agadah, but you know.
Yeah, no, but it's not like we skipped Agadah because I'm one of those guys. Yeah. You know, the people who, we skipped. Why?
If I knew Aleph, I would bet.
We should, you know, as we're almost done with the Masechta, except there's stuff that we skipped in the middle.
Yeah.
And we skipped around because we wanted to do Purim stuff before Purim, and so we're going to have to decide, are we going to go back and go for a Siyum, or are we going to...
Learn a Siyum,
No. We've never learned the same Masechta for more than a year. Okay. So on the previous Amud, we had this Zalpan Siman. These four Chachamim, Rabbi Zakkai, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Preda, and Rabbi Nechunya, Ben Akana, where the Talmidim asked them, "B'maz zachit al arachat yamim?" Like, what special merit did you have to be entitled to such a right a long life? And they each described their own, punctilious practices. The things that they did above and beyond, or the things that they were makpid on, that they presumed were the source of their arichas yom. Now there's more stories in the same vein, but it doesn't fit into the Zalpan. Shal Rabbi Akiva et Rabbi Nechunya Agodol. Amarlo, b'maharach t'yamin. Here on Kaf Chet Omid Beis, Omid Aleph, Kaf Chet Omid Aleph, in the skinny lines, about a little more than halfway down. The first word on the line is, well, it's exactly where we left off last week. Surely you remember. The first word on the line is, L'chenvani.
I was just testing.
You were asking on behalf of the others.
I need
the question. Amar lo, b'mah arachta yamim. Atu gavzei. Gavzei are like the gaboyim, his assistants. The word has something to do with eunuchs. Would the Steinfeld say something there?
Cutting. Oh, it's a eunuch.
Yes.
I think like computer language. In my head, I don't know where you're getting it from. Like
UNIX.
Yeah. Not UNIX. In other words, the gaboyim, the assistants of Rabbi Nechunya, were not eunuchs, but it was a term that came to mean. In other words, the ancient kings would what's the verb for to eunuchize? To
castrate.
Castrate. Thank you. They're people, you know, in the inner circle. Mm-hmm. Then that term comes to mean
a senior assistant,
whether or not they whether or not they're playing with a full deck. So, in other words, the Talmidim come v'kamachule, and they try to beat up on poor Rabbi Akiva. Why?
Says it's because
it's chutzpidik, yeah. In other words, it's kind of chutzpidik. In other words, you see somebody and you say, in other words, the presumption that somebody's old is chutzpidik. Right?
Well, the way the article puts it this way, that because they thought that because of the Akiva asked Rabbi Nechemi about his long days or whatever, they thought they used. That was it. That was the end of Rabbi Yechamiya's long day.
Oh. In other words, you're saying, like, you know, since you're about to die.
It's like pink elephants. Don't talk about pink elephants. There won't be any pink elephants.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly what Rashi says. You see, Rashi... Gavzei Srisin Hayu. Rashi says they in fact were eunuchs. Srisin Hayu Avadim Mishartim Oto.
No. I'm not sure that that's correct, what I just said. In other words, Rashi defines what Gavzeya. He defines that as Srisim. Period. Hayu Avadim Mishartim Oto. They were his servants. V'kamachule. The Rabbi Akiva, and they objected to Rabbi Akiva, they beat up Rabbi Akiva, Surin Hayu Shaya Katz Bechayav. Right? In other words, they were saying, are you so sick of Rabbi Nechunya, you want to get rid of him? Right? It's like, look, in other words, you don't need to be an actuary to understand that somebody who's very, very old is closer to death than somebody who's very, very young. But it's, you know, like what's his name? John McCain. So Rachmanis, John McCain is dying of terminal cancer, ain't tikva, right? So this guy in the White House says, what difference does it make? He's dead soon. So everybody thought this is outrageous, except when you put it in the context of all the other outrages that come out of the White House. It's disrespectful.
Do you think anyone would be offended at receiving the the Kaf Yisrael from Mifal HaChaim? Because it means that they're kind of like saying, all right, you're...
Yeah, like if you get the Mifal HaChaim, like it means, you know, you're...
I can see someone, I'm not sure who
you have
like,
to have...
Be like, oh, you really think I'm done at this point? Am I going to come with anything else?
So. Well, it's probably one of those things. If you get the Mifal HaChaim when you're too young, people say, the Mifal HaChaim, right? Like when they gave, forget what you think of the pulse, they gave the Nobel to Obama after 1 year in office, right? Even he was embarrassed. Because on the other hand, you get it when you're older, they say, oh, that's it, they think I'm done. That's
my last. I think it was nothing done. I can't be sure, I have to look it up a little bit. That he got a lifetime...
It's always safe bet to quote Yogi Berra.
No, he got like a lifetime achievement award from baseball.
Mm-hmm.
When he retired as a manager, he hopes to do stuff. But I'm not done with baseball.
Right. So Solik, so he ran away. Yotiv Aresha Didikla. So because they were beating up on him, Rabbi Akiva ran away, climbed a tree, and sat at the top of the palm tree. So Omar Leh. So from the top of the palm tree, he calls out to Rabbi Nechunya ben Elkanah. Im Nemar Keves Lame Nemar Echad. What's the pasuk? ואת הכבש האחד תעשה בבוקר ואת הכבש השני תעשה בין הבאים. That's the famous spray about what's the most important pasuk in the Torah. Right? That is ואת הכבש השני תעשה בבוקר ואת הכבש השני תעשה בין הבאים. I mean the idea of like kvir. Who? No, it's in the Sifra. Yeah. So, and he asks him a shayla. Omaluhu tsurba merabonan hu shavkuhu. So then Rabbi Nechunya says, no, this one he's a smart lad. This is Rabbi Akiva at the beginning of his rebbeship, right? So Rabbi Nechunya says to the Talmidim, you can leave him alone. He's beseder. So Omar Leh. So he's still didn't answer to the question. It's a good question. There's an extraneous word in the pasuk. If I say et akeves taseh baboker, how many kvasim do you have to shech? One. So what do you have to say? Et akeves echad miuchad shebeedro. So what is echad coming to teach you? The good one, the special, the most choice. Right? But when you choose the keves for the tomid, you should choose the. If you have two, or if you have three, then you choose at whatever point you go to choose the keves, the morning for the morning, the afternoon for the afternoon, choose the choicest one. That's what the word echad. Echad is there to teach you miyuchad.
When they did the tamichol boker, they had no idea what was going to be in the afternoon. They didn't have the keves ready yet.
They would go to the eder. They would choose the keves. So now he owes him an answer. Now he has to tell him. Now Rabbi Chunya Gadol has to tell him what were his miyomai lo kibalti matanot velo amarati al midotai vatran b'mamoni hayti. So now he unpacks each of these things. Lo kibalti matanot. I never accepted gifts. ki hadar Rabbi Elazar ki havu mishadrei le matanot mi bein nesia lo hava shokil. When the Beit HaNasi would send me gifts, I wouldn't accept them. Why? Well, that's what the Gemara is. As you know from having looked ahead, that's what the Gemara is going to say. But because, in other words, if you accept gifts from the, you accept gifts from the power, you're beholden to the power. And when I get an invitation to Beit HaNasi, I wouldn't go. People think it's chashuv to go to the Knesset, right? This is the statement of Rabbi Elazar. In other words, Rabbi Nechunya says, I never accepted gifts. On what basis? On the basis of the teaching of Rabbi Elazar. Right? What does the art scroll say there?
A great individual.
Okay. So, Omar Lohu, Lo Nichalehu, don't you want me to live? They'd send him a gift. He'd say, don't you want me to live? Like you're trying to kill me by sending me a gift? Yechtiv, Sone Matanot Yechye. If you hate gifts, you live. If you want me to take a gift, you don't know my best interests are. Rabbi Zeira, ki havam mishadre le mibeinesia lo avashokil, ki havam mizamne le ozil. When they would send him a gift, he wouldn't accept it, but when they would invite him, when they would extend him an invitation, he would go. What's the difference? Omar, ityakure de mityakrebi. No. If they send me a gift, that if I accept it, then I'm beholden to them. Which is why you should not accept gifts. But when they invite me to there's an event. What do you guys have at the Knesset? The Haramah Kosit? This event, that event, whatever it is. You get an invitation. I am honoring them by attending. And you ever get invited to one of these events?
They want a big crowd.
You get invited to these things. The first time it's like a big honor. The second time it's less of an honor. It's not such a big deal. So if I go, I'm not. There's no tovat hana'ah. I'm not getting anything out of it. They're getting something out of it because I'm being present. You're not doing him a favor. He's doing you a favor.
He's doing you the favor by showing up and showing come home.
Right.
That's what he's doing you a favor by inviting.
Below Amarati Amidotai, I was never, how would you translate that? I was never makbid on my kavod. I was never exacting.
Midot is kavod? Is that usually the... Like, I think, isn't like when...
Rashi
like
says, L'shalem gmul ra, l'mi shetziarni. I was, you know, if somebody... somebody did something to me, I let it slide.
I think there's an English expression that goes something like, I don't stand on my honor, which is pretty well what he's saying. I'm
right,
not puffed
right
up about myself.
Right, so Rashi says if somebody did something wrong to me, I let it slide. But maybe it's a similar idea. The Omar Rava Kol HaMa'avir Al Midotav Ma'avir Mimenu Psha'av. If you let it slide, if you let slide what other people do to you and don't exact, I assume we're not talking about revenge. Revenge is us. If you don't exact the kind of payback that you might be able to claim either on your honor or on your finances, so then God lets your sins slide as well. But if you let it slide, then Hashem will let it slide with you. Shneimar nose avon v'over al pesha. You're right. Nose avon v'over al pesha. Lemi no se avon. Lemi shover al pesha. Who does God forgive the sins? Who does he let the sins slide? Somebody that lets the offenses against him slide.
So Shandot have a question for Mavir Minotaz. Mevater al Masha Kavala Asmo. So I think that fits also better in general with the concept of midot instead of kavod, and also with the connection to the midot of Hashem, because it's not like saying you're kavod, it's saying what you stand up for, you believe it, what you think is important, or what you, if this particular thing is important to you, you're willing to be mevater, and God, who has these midot of like, I'll punish whatever, those midot will also be mevater. It's not about kavod, but about principles. Standing on principles,
standing on principles. Shaal Rabbi Udanasi et Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha b'ma'arachti yamim. Is another story of the same genre. Omar Lei katzta b'chayai. A similar response. You sick of me? Right? You think? Omar Lo Rabbi Torahi v'lilmona nitzarich. That's the famous answer of Kahana, hides under the bed because he wants to know the halachot of Ish v'Isha. Say, Kahana, get the heck out of here. What are you doing? This is Torahi, Lelandonat, say, Yesh Gvu. Right, this idea that it's Torah and I have to learn it, right? In other words, I need to know, right? This idea fits in nicely with all of the Gemaras we have in Brachos and elsewhere of the deathbed scenes. You know, this idea that the rabbi is dying, even going back to Yaakov Avinu, that somehow that idea of the parting words, you know, that lesson, that there's a lesson even there, that the person can, as they're getting ready to check out, they have some insight that they can share with us. That it's true. I mean, another thing is, we think I'm about to die. You think, he says, well, I mean, it could be, but well, what can I do? It's Torah I need to learn. So Omar Lei, Miyamai lo nistakalti bidmut adam rasha. I never looked at a wicked person. To Omar Rabbi Yochanan, asur la'adam lehistakel b'tselem dmut adam rasha. You can't look at a... You can't look in the face, either at a face or they didn't have Instagram. Right, but the likeness of a wicked person.
Well, they probably had most of the. I imagine at least in that time, most of the like statues and things that we've seen were going to be like
were people that we would have considered a show. Yeah. Right.
But I think.
I assume that. We learned the Gemara like this in Avodah Zarah once, you and I. But remember it. Shneamar. Zeposkin Malochim, Lulei Pnei Yehoshaphat Melech Yehuda, Ani Nose, Im Habit Alecha, Ve'im Erecha. What's the context of that posuk? In other words, Yehoshaphat, who's Melech Yehuda, and Yehoram, who's Melech Yisrael, are fight. There's a temporary alliance as they're fighting against Moab. So Elisha says to Yehoshaphat, whose team is Elisha on? Elisha is on Yehoshaphat's side, as Elisha is with the Melech Yehuda, not the Malchei Yisrael. But suddenly the Malchei Yehuda and Malchei Yisrael are temporarily aligned, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So this is what Elisha says to Yehoshaphat. I'd like to help you, but if you're hanging around with this Russia, I can't talk to you because I can't be looking at Yehoram, who's a Russia. Va'omer Rabbi Yitzchok, Le'olam al tiyeh klalat hediyot kala be'inecha. another teaching. You shouldn't let the curse even of a hedyot, a simple person, just like we say, it's the opposite of what we say, al tehe birkot hedyot kala b'necho. Right? The simplest person gives you a bracha, don't dismiss it as something cheap. And similarly, a klala. Shaharei avimelech kilel et sarah.
Did you skip?
What did I skip?
V'emerecha
Rabbi Rabbi Elazar Amar.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My eyes
aren't
working. Where am I? So lulei pnei yosherech erecha. Rabbi Elazar Amar einav kehot. If you look at a Rasha, you go blind. Shneamar vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak v'techein einav mirot. Why does Yitzchak go blind at the end? Mishum distakel beis of a Rasha. He spent all that time looking at his brother,
at his son.
So he, what can he do? It has an effect. It's like, you know, like when we were kids, they always told you to look at the sun. It's true. Did you get it?
Did I get?
It was a pun.
Oh.
He told you to look at the sun. How do you know? Vaha Gormale, and that was the source of his blindness. Yeah, there's all different explanations in the Gemara, in the Midrash, in the Chazal, why Yitzchak went blind. Well, the angels wept, or. Ve'omer b'Yitzchak le'olam al tiek le'olat hediot kala b'enecha shehari avimelech kile'olat sara v'nitkayem b'zara. In other words, what's the Avimelech is a hediot. Avimelech was a melech, but he was a hediot in the sense that he probably didn't have the power to give a bracha or a klala. And what was his klala to Sarah? Shneemar, hinei hu lecha ksot einayim. Al tekre ksot ela ksiat einayim. That is, instead of a veil to cover her eyes, and ksot is a veil, ksiat is blindness. So what's the blindness? That her son went blind. And that's what caused the blindness. The bracha, the klala of Avimelech. Rava Amar Mihocha. Shet Pnei Rasha Lo Tov B'Shat Ptirato. So Omar Le Rebbe Barcheni. Omar Le. So who's this? Who's asking for the bracha?
Rabbi
Yeshua ben Karcha. So that's for a bracha. Omer lehi ratzon shetagia lachatzi yamai. You should get to, you should live to be at least as half as old as me. You're so old. What's the wisdom of old age? You want a bracha? You should live as half as old as me. I shouldn't live to be as old as you? So Omer lo. Haboim acharecha behema yirau. Those that come after you will shepherd animals. Abuha bar ihi meniman bar ihi chadamar titili delo estakli. What does that mean? What does that mean? Haboy macherecha behemot yirau. In other words, if you live too long, mashallah ma davar dome. You think Elizabeth, long may she reign, gets a lot of nachas from the Prince of Wales? Right? Now just think of that. Poor Prince Charles. Right? Even, God forbid, she should go to her great reward today. And we wish her well. She should reign ad mea vesem. So, like, he spent his whole life. He's at the age past most people retire. He'll finally become
king before he gets Alzheimer's.
Right. So, in other words, that sense that, you know, you stick around the job too long, it retards the development of your children. If you're in a kind of, I mean, we don't think the others. Our kids go off and do whatever they do. It's not dependent on us. But if you're the nasi, and your kid's going to become the nasi, right? You know, it's if you're in a hereditary business. Right, so it holds them back. Like you should know. Like you always see these shops or these law firms. You know, so and so and sons. Right, that if so and so doesn't pass on the business to the sons at a certain point, the whole thing is going to, right, because he can't keep doing it, and they're not going to be able to take over. And you know, it only works if there's this kind of transition from one generation to the next. So if you live too long in a job like Elizabeth II, it means your son is not going to ever achieve greatness because he won't have that opportunity. So, well, that's okay because it's passed over to that's kiburav, that they continue calling it and sons, right?
That's caused by very old Hasidic rabbis.
Yes. Yes, also.
I guess if you think about the Hasidim, she's a good one. So like in regular Rabbanut, it doesn't work because you're a rabbi. Okay, so my son's going to be a rabbi. Okay, so.
No, we're not so accustomed to this.
Right. So.
The context of the Gemara. So I'm an Amara, and my son's going to be an Amara too.
No, we're just talking about being the Nasi.
Right.
Being the chief rabbi.
Right.
No, you probably would never have it.
No, but it happened after. You know.
Only because they couldn't appoint him again.
True. The chief rabbis went to jail.
Chief rabbi what?
They went to jail. That's still in jail.
Trying to get out.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get out. You know, I mean, too many people say, it's pretty good in here. You know what? Don't file the appeal. Get 3 squares a day. Wi-Fi. No, it wasn't going to jail the way this chief rabbi was in jail. That's the Maharam of Rotenburg was held for ransom. And he wouldn't let them ransom him because the halacha is that you don't offer excessive ransom because then it encourages them to kidnap other people. And he spent his whole... Yeah, apparently, I mean, the conditions were he wasn't like tied to the rack. And they also let him learn. They also let him... let people come and learn with him. What?
Is it Charlie and the MTA song or is it only a Boston? Yeah. Famous song about a guy got stuck on the train in Boston, and his wife would always give him a sandwich. And as a kid, I heard that song, you know, from Boston. And I never understood why she couldn't give him the nickel. If you're giving a sandwich every day, why didn't give a nickel and you get off the train? But it was a protest.
Well, you need money to get off the train.
It was a protest song against raising the rates of the train because he got on the train and they raised the rates while he was on it. He didn't have enough money to get off.
There were also lines.
Right. So he didn't have the money.
Because you had to pay to get off the train.
Yeah. Yeah. If you know, if you went past a certain point, then there was a they changed it. The next fare, you had to pay 20 cents to get off the train.
Anyway, so that's why he wishes him. He should only live. Meaning, when he says to him, you should live as half as long as I do, which sounds like a strange bracha. Really, he's speaking about himself. Where he said, you know, he said to him, katzta b'chayai. Really, he's saying about himself, katzti b'chayai. Right enough. I mean, it's time for me. You know, like they had this thing in the Emperor of Japan. The Emperor of Japan, who's very old, wanted to abdicate and pass the throne over to his son, it's a similar thing. The son is also already like in his 60s or 70s. But there's no mechanism, because in Japan, at least on paper, unlike in England, on paper, in Japan, the emperor is still, you know, divine, so there's no mechanism. There's no havamina that you can, like, could HaKadosh Baruch Hu abdicate being a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? You can't. So they had to pass special. But he can't do it anymore. He doesn't have the kochos to do it anymore. So they had to pass special legislation that applies only to him. Like, it's not a precedent that other emperors will be able to resign in the future, to abdicate in the future. Right? The same thing with this, the previous pope who resigned. It happens once every 700 years or something.
Unexpected consequence of longer.
Yeah, presumably. Right. People used to not get Alzheimer's because everything else would get them before you.
Abua
Bar'ihi u Maniman Bar'ihi Chada Mar Titi Li Dolo Istakli Bekuti. Bless me that I shouldn't ever have to look at a kuti. A kuti was a
It sounds like a goy.
I mean, I shouldn't look at a non-Jew. In the sense that this is a world where a non-Jew is almost synonymous with a Russian. It's not PC today. V'chada mar titili delo avdi shutfut bahade kute. Right? Bless me that I should never have to form a financial partnership with a non-Jew. There's a problem. This is also Gemara in Sanhedrin about having a financial partnership with a non-Jew. Because if you have financial partnership with a non-Jew, what happens in financial partnerships with Jews or with non-Jews? So sometimes they don't work out so well, and you have to go to court. So when you go to court with another Jew, you go to Beis Din. When you go to court with a non-Jew, so you have to go to the Archos. You have to go to the non-Jewish courts. You go to non-Jewish courts. They have to swear by their Avodah Zarah. So you are indirectly involved in causing someone to be involved with Avodah Zarah, so you should avoid that. Shalu Talmidav et Rabbi Zeira v'maharachti yamim amar lahem mi'amai lo hikparati betoch beiti. I was never, I was chill at home, you know, as our kids tell us. Abba, chill. Right? I wasn't strict at home.
He asked somebody this question and he didn't give us a fantastic answer right off the bat. What?
No, that's only in these last two cases, but in the first four cases we didn't see that. But in these last two cases we did see that. Velot sa'arati bifnei misha gadol mimeni. And I never walked in front of somebody that was greater than me, greater scholar, greater person. Velo hirharti bimivaot mitunafot. And I never thought about Torah in impure places. Right? In other words, you're not allowed to, if you're in a place which has shmutz and lichluch and etc., you shouldn't think about Torah. Because it's not proper. V'lo halachti dalet amot b'lo Torah u'b'lo tefillin. So what does that mean? I mean, I never walked arba amot without divrei Torah, and without wearing tefillin, at least during the day. So apparently he was never...
He never walked Arba Amot in a
right. V'lo yeshanti b'beit ha-midrash, lo shenat kevav, lo shenat arai. I never slept in the Beis Medrash, neither a real sleep nor a nap. V'lo sasti b'takalat chavirai. You know, we say at the end of the, in the Siyum, it's the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachos, in the Hadron. Where is it? Where's the Hadron? That's strange. So we say in the Hadron, no, I'm sorry, not in the Hadron, in the Tefillah, right, in the Tefillah Beit HaMidrash. Yes. This, right. Hirotzen mefunach Hashem elokai velokai avotai shelo ye'era devar takala al yadi velo yakashel bedvar halakha yismichu bi chaverai velo omer al tamei tahor vehulei. So I asked that, well, I shouldn't make an error in a psak halacha. Right? So what does it mean that my friends will be happy with me? My friends will
in the Yeratan or
in either.
No, the Gemara here is saying I won't enjoy someone else's psak halacha.
Right. No, but this is the opposite. I didn't do it for them, and we pray that it shouldn't happen to me. So what does it mean? Is somebody's happy that I made a mistake?
Like people sort of like enjoy pointing out other people's errors.
Right. Right. There is something about the culture of the Beit Midrash. It's not for nothing that the Gemara compares the culture of the Beit Midrash to the arena, to the gladiators. And it's not for nothing that Chazal are called the Balei Trisin, right? The shield bearers. Right? And as here we sit and we learn and we battle it out in the thoughts of ideas, and that brings out, you know, the kind of competitiveness in learning sometimes creates a certain harshness. Sometimes it creates a, like, you know, as I say something, I say a pshat, and it's wrong, you say, ah, you're stupid! Right? That's a bad mita. Right? So he says, we hope that we don't make a mistake and that others should rejoice over my mistakes. But I also am careful when somebody else, look, in other words, in the battle for the truth of Torah, where we're trying to get at what the meaning with a lowercase m and the meaning with a capital M, right? So you say what you say, and I say what I say, and you know, sometimes at the elementary level, like it's just arguing about the meaning of a word, right? And I remember, you know, like coming to Bravinders, and like you don't know anything. I'm a mamish, you don't know anything. And those days, you know, you sat with a Gemara and a Jastra dictionary, and you struggled it out, and you didn't have Art Scroll, and you didn't have Steinsaltz, and you didn't have all these other things. And you just struggled it out, and sometimes you're arguing like over what the Rashi Tevos means, right? And those are just factual matters of what the Rashi Tevos mean. And I remember once there was a Rashi Tevos. We know what it meant, so we went to Rabbi Ebner. We say, like, what does this mean? Like, you have to, you're like a little embarrassed to ask, what does it mean? You're so stupid, you don't know anything. So he looks at us, he says, Rebbeinu Shalom, right? A God in heaven, like, and we thought he means a God in heaven, so stupid, you don't know anything, right? No, the rest of it was Resh Bet Shinai and Rabbeinu Shalom, right? So, but you're arguing about, you know, I always say, like, it's pointless to argue about facts. Like, we'll argue about facts at home, right? It's important to argue about facts, right? Just look it up, right? Argue about ideas, argue about opinions, but to argue about facts is silly. And that's what they say, like, the smartphone has destroyed, like, all conversation, you know, at the bar. Right? Like Cliff and Norm are sitting there arguing about, like, you know, who hit that home run in game 6 or something, right?
There was a story in, Rabbi Lam told about the Rav, when he was in share with the Rav, and, like, he asked him some question, and he ended up, I don't remember what the answer was supposed to be based on some previous year, and the Rav got angry with him because he said, you answered what you thought I wanted you to say,
right.
And you should be coming in with your
right.
with
right.
your answer,
right.
with both your answer. Your
right.
answer also, you should be,
right.
you should,
right.
don't say what you want me to say.
Right.
Right, but you should challenge
No, me. That's the amazing thing. You go, I remember getting to YU, and, you know, you go into the university, you go into the college classroom, there are still, I don't know what it's like today, but then it was still, the end of the old school. There were limits on what you could say, on the kind of critique you could make on what a professor says. But not in Shir. In Shir, the Rebbe says something. Obviously, the Rebbe knows 100,000 times more than you do. And he's also got all the cards up his sleeve. Right? He's leading the journey of exploring. He knows about the Rashbo he's about to introduce that wasn't on the Maror Makomos that's going to solve all the problems. Right? So you're in the middle of the learning. right? And he says something, you say, no, it's not that at all. It's like completely legitimate for the youngest Talmud in Shir to like try to, and of course he's going to get squashed, right? But that kind of rough and tumble, right, is completely legitimate. Masha en okein in an academic, in a university setting. You wouldn't say that to a professor. You
which most people think is the other way around. Like if you ask an average person, they think university is the open
and
exploration
of
ideas.
And it's dogmatic, and the parameters of Kavod HaTorah would limit that. No, but not at all. The rough and tumble is... So I always hope that, you know, if I defeat... If I defeat my opponent, my intellectual opponent, in the course of Beis Medrash, I don't take joy in his defeat. I've been follow Ezech al Tismach here in a specific context. V'lo sasti b'takal chaverai, v'lo karati l'chaveri b'chanichato, v'amar le b'chanichato u'b'chanikato. Right, in other words, I never called him by one of those embarrassing. We talked about this. This was one of the previous Tanoim. It also said this idea: you don't call somebody by a disparaging nickname, or Yeshomrim. I never even called him by any nickname. No, this is an embarrassing nickname that you call somebody. That's really, but even by a regular nickname, that was always my. And this goes back to what we talked about in terms of respecting somebody's sense of identity, etc. Now all of these Gemara. Now that's the end of the Gemara until the Mishnah. All of these Gemaras are discussed by the Mesilas Yesharim. The Mesilas Yesharim, the Mesilas Yesharim himself reminds us that it's worth reading the Mesilas Yesharim from time to time. In chapter 19 of the Mesilas Yesharim, he says the following. He quotes the whole Gemara at length. This is a chapter called Be'ur Chelkei Chassidut. Not Chassidut like Baal Shem Tov. You understand, he perceives the Chassidut as we know it. But the different categories of saintliness. I mean, there's no way to do it without kind of like reviewing the whole Gemara, but he says, remember Rabbi Zakkai said, he was asked, why have you merited such long life? He answered, I never urinated within four amot of prayer. I never called my friend by a nickname. I never missed making Kiddush on Shabbat. I had an older mother once she sold her hat, etc., etc. This is an instance of saintliness in relation to the fine points of mitzvot. For instance, Rabbi Zakkai was so lacking in means that in order to procure wine, his mother had to sell her mitpachat. He was not required to obtain wine in the first place. Right? In other words, he could have made kiddush on those other things. But this is a sense of the kind of punctiliousness in mitzvah, even at the
expense of his mother's...
Well, presumably, maybe it says more about his mother than it says about him. Right? Maybe we're talking about his mother's too. For him to do so then was an act of saintliness, and his being concerned for his friend's honor to the extent that he would not even call him by a complimentary, non-objectionable nickname was also a facet of saintliness. Rav Huna tied, remember he tied his belt with an elastic or something because he sold his belt in order to get wine for Kiddush. Rav Eliezer ben Shemua was asked by his Talmidim, what have you merited long life? He answered, I never used the synagogue as a shortcut, and I never walked above the heads of the holy people while they were seated in studies. In the first instance, Rav Huna was practicing saintliness and the honoring of a synagogue, and in the second, by not walking among the seated scholars in order not to give the impression that he was belittling them. He was honoring his fellow creatures. Rabbi Preda was asked by his disciples, why have you merited such long life? He answered, no one ever preceded me to the house of study. I never recited Birkat Kohanim before, and I never recited a blessing before a Kohen. Right, and that was Birkat HaMazon. Right, remember the Gemara asked, right, what does it mean? And I never ate of an animal whose gift offerings I had not been taken. Rabbi Nechunya was asked, why have you merited such long life? He answered, I never derived honor from the shame of my friend, and the curse of my friend right now, he was always up on my bed. In other words, I always, you know, kind of let it go before I got into bed. I didn't hold on to a grudge. By way of illustration, we are told Rabbi Huna, when Rabbi Chana Bar Chanilai came along and relieved him of an axe that he had been carrying upon his shoulder, said, I think it's a hoe. If it is customary, right, so he says, I'm not going to let you, he was carrying his tools. So his Talmud comes, I'll carry for you. He says, look, I can't be honored by you being embarrassed. So the whole story implies a conscious attempt to increase one's honor through the shaming of one's friend. Those who are saintly are averse to acquiring honor through the dishonor of their friends, even if the latter are quite agreeable to their doing so. It was in relation to saintliness, too, that Rabbi Zeira was speaking when he said, I was never officious in my own household. I was never makpid in my own house. I never walked in front of one greater than I never meditated in unclean places. I never walked 4 amot without Torah and tefillin. I never slept or napped in the base medrash. I never rejoiced in my neighbor's misfortune. I never called my friend by his nickname. Represented here are all the types of saintliness mentioned above. Our sages of blessed memory state further, this is Bava Kama Daf Lamed Omer Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda said, if one wishes to be a saint, a tzaddik, a chosid, one who wants to be a chosid, let him fulfill the laws of benedictions. Right? The Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, hai man deboi limhave chasida, v'kayem mili debrachot. Right? How do you be a chosid, a saintly person? By fulfilling that which is taught in Masechet Brachot. Others say, let him fulfill the laws of damages, Nezikin. And others say, let him fulfill the laws of ethics, which are both. Meaning, one is Ben Adam, Brachot is Ben Adam L'Makom. Nezikin is Ben Adam L'Chavero. The third opinion is, no, you have to have both. Ethics is about the Shiluv between Ben Adam L'Makom and Ben Adam L'Chavero. It's mediating your relations with other people through the prism of your relationship with God. So that might have something to do. That might be what connects all of the, like the theme that runs throughout all of these different teachings.
What's the theme? The
kind of this mediating between Ben Adam LaMakom and Ben Adam LaChavero. In other words, that's what ethics is. That's all of these things. These are all matters of chassidus. These are all matters of kind of going above and beyond. These are all matters of...
He also thinks about, in some ways, about like kavod. Either kavod for God or kavod for man. Like, in other words, whether you're willing to give kavod to someone else.